T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, it is.
It is.
The Alex Donoff Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. With you till 10 o'clock tonight, streaming live over the internet. 305, that's not the website, that's the phone number. Jesus, I haven't done evenings in a long time. The website is WQAM.com. The phone number, if you want to get in, talk Miami Hurricanes fall camp, talk Miami Dolphins training camp, talk some Miami Heat basketball. Ira Winderman's going to be on with us in under 20 minutes. Phone numbers 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560, #560 on your cellular device, aka smartphone, or you can text us at 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line, but please do not text and drive. So the reason why Manny Chang brought us in with the Game of Thrones theme, it's not because Mark Richt is coming for the throne, the Iron Throne, it might be, but Manny Chang, God bless him. We're 7 years into this thing, Game of Thrones. 7 years into it. I've been invested in that show for 7 years, as many of you have. And Manny Chang finally started watching it yesterday. I mean, at least you're doing it the right way. You're starting from season one, right? You're starting from the beginning. Because I've had people in my life, very stupid people, that have tried to pick up wherever the show is at that given time. Like, they think it's like Law and Order. I can just watch tonight's episode and understand everything. I've actually known people who have tried to pick the show up, season 4, season 5, etc., and it's the dumbest thing you can possibly do. It's like running with scissors caliber stupidity. So at least Manny Chang, it took him 7 years to finally discover the magic that is Game of Thrones. But when he finally discovered it, at least he's smart enough to watch it from season one on. And spoiler alert for those of you lazy folk out there who have not even started the show yet. Manny just a couple of hours ago saw the episode where Lord Eddard Stark from Winterfell, Lord of Winterfell, Warden of the North, lost his head to King Joffrey, and his head ended up on a pike. And it made Manny very sad. He admitted to me he shed a tear when that happened. I don't blame you, bro. Listen, it was a sad moment for all of us in the Seven Kingdoms when Ned Stark lost his head. At least his son is King of the North at that point. Long may he... I'm sure nothing will happen to his son, Robb Stark. Everything will be fine with Robb Stark from this point on. Oh, my God. But listen, as far as the game of college football thrones, that was a terrible, terrible, cheesy segue. I apologize to all of you for that. But it is an exciting day. It was an exciting day for me with your Miami Hurricanes starting fall camp today. So today was the beginning of year two of the Mark Richt era. And there are plenty of areas of concern, areas of intrigue. You look at depth at places like tight end, offensive line, running back, because young Robert Burns still banged up. You know, this kid out of Gulliver, true freshman, really talented guy when he plays, but missed most of his junior year and senior year with ankle and shoulder injuries, and he's been nursing a shoulder injury. It's why he missed spring football. And Mark Richt said today that Robert Burns probably won't be ready for game one, which would be the Bethune-Cookman game on September 2nd, which leaves you not a whole lot behind Mark Walton. Although the good news is Travis Homer, according to Coach Richt, had a really good day in practice today. That's going to be the next man up, more than likely, right? Unless like Treon Chalk Gray has just an awesome fall and ends up leapfrogging him in the second string at running back. Travis Homer's going to be more than likely the second string running back, and Mark Walton's going to be the workhorse, but second stringers and third stringers, for that matter, get plenty of carries in college football. So, okay, what everybody has their eyes on now that fall camp has begun, the quarterback position. Brad Kaya departs for the NFL. Kind of ill-advised, but he's gone. Not our problem anymore. Leaves a vacuum of power at the quarterback position, where, you know, I mentioned it in the update, the two co-leaders from spring football, Malik Rozier heading into his junior season, was Brad Kaya's backup for the last 2 years, does have one start under his belt, a game that he won against Duke, the Miracle in Durham, 2 seasons ago. So he's got the experience edge. But then you've got the wild card, Evan Sheriffs, heading into his sophomore year. I think the big things that Sheriffs has going for him are, number one, the height. The height and the length, 6'5" compared to Malik Rozier's 6'1". That's a big difference when you're talking about seeing over the line of scrimmage. Throws a decent football, got a lot of toughness, took some big hits in the spring when Miami had that one full contact scrimmage in spring football. And, you know, there is a perception out there. And again, neither of these guys have hardly any experience. Sheriffs has not played a single collegiate game and one start for Malik Rozier. So you don't have a whole lot of film in games to crunch for either of these guys. But I think Sheriffs is considered to be the guy who may take care of the football a little bit better. And in case you were wondering how the starting quarterback snaps and reps were split up today in the first day of fall camp, it was the two of those guys splitting the first team reps, splitting first team and second team. Same leaders out of spring. Malik Rozier, junior, Evan Sheriffs, sophomore. So where does that leave the true freshman who is captivating the hearts and minds of the South Florida football fan, Nikosi Perry? Young stud, 6'4", 190, 195 pounds, depending on how heavy he gets during this fall camp. Talented slinger, dual threat guy, blazing speed out of Ocala Vanguard. Where is he right now? You know, I think maybe some of you out there were, I don't know, optimistic enough, delusional enough. I don't know what the word I'm looking for here is, but some of you thought, oh, maybe he would be getting a handful of first team reps on day one of camp, you know, to really get that competition started. That wasn't the case today. It doesn't mean it won't be the case by Friday. It doesn't mean it won't be the case next week or the week after. You know, I know it's probably by the second scrimmage of fall camp is when Mark Richt would like to have his starter. Now, whether the second scrimmage is going to be the day that he announces it to you or just the day he knows for himself, that is yet to be determined. We don't know when he's going to announce the starting quarterback, but he'd like to know who it is by the second scrimmage of fall camp. But as for today, if you thought that Nikosi Perry was just going to waltz in here out of high school, now he did do 7-on-7s, workouts with teammates during the summer, but none of that was coach supervised, so he didn't have that same sort of guidance and evaluation. If you thought he was just going to come in here day one of fall camp and take starting reps, you were probably a little bit delusional. He was splitting third and fourth team reps with Cade Weldon, who's the other true freshman who's less likely to win the starting job. Right. I mean, he is a college football legacy, son of Casey Weldon, who started for Mark Richt's offense back at Florida State. So they've got that family connection. Cade Weldon seems like a nice player, but he's not being mentioned realistically as a competitor for the starting job in the same breath as Sheriffs, Rozier, and very gifted 18-year-old Nikosi Perry, who just arrived today. So, you know, if you were wondering how the reps would shape up for these different quarterbacks, who's going to be the starter today, how much is Nikosi Perry going to be involved? He was taking mostly third team snaps today. Now, unfortunately, the media viewing is pretty limited. We are going to talk to Peter Ruiz in about 20 minutes. And it's why a day like today, it's so important to talk to Peter Ruiz, our man from CanesInsight.com, because he gets so many extra behind the scenes nuggets that 99% of us are not capable of reaching. We don't have the same kind of connections that Peter Ruiz has. Peter Ruiz is my connection because he has so many of those connections. So for whatever the media was not able to watch today, about 25 minutes of media viewing and some of the other things that may have happened behind the scenes, I think Peter Ruiz is one of those guys who's going to have some information to that. But, you know, if you go by what players and coaches said today, thought it was interesting something that Mark Richt said on Nikosi Perry, which you can take as, you know, at least a, you know, not to say this is a sign that he's going to be the starter, but it does sound like a vote of confidence when he says, hey, looking at Nikosi Perry today, I can tell this young man is a passer. He's not a thrower. He understands touch. He's got football instincts. This is not just an athlete with raw talent who comes in here and we have to mold him like clay. He's already got a lot of the tools it takes to succeed at the college level. And as far as, you know, what I always worry about, whether it's with, you know, rookies in the NFL or true freshmen in college football, where is he on the installation, the academic side of it, right? Like how good is he with the playbook, which he did have a chance to study over the summer. It's not like today's the first day that he got a copy of the playbook. He did have some of that stuff to go over the last couple of months since he enrolled back in May. But as far as where he is mentally, Mark Richt said he's grasping about 50%, which in his mind, in Richt's mind, is pretty good for somebody on their first day. So he seems to be progressing fine. If you thought today would be the day you discover who the starting quarterback is going to be, you're going to be sadly disappointed. It's going to take at least a couple of weeks to figure that out. But Nakosi Perry today took third team reps primarily. And according to Chris Herndon, who's going to be, I think he's going to be a stud at tight end this year, starting tight end for the Hurricanes. This is one of the few players who actually really gave a couple of details as to what Perry did out there. He said Perry had some problems fumbling snaps. But, you know, like Braxton Berrios said, senior wide receiver, things like that are pretty common for first day jitters, right? You're going to get a guy who comes in with a lot of adrenaline and a lot of excitement. And I would imagine you come in here as a true freshman with a lot of hype behind you. There's got to be a lot of pressure Nakosi is putting on himself to really go out there and wow people, right? So it's probably going to, for at least the first couple of days, it's probably going to cause him to maybe extend more effort than he should in an effort to go out there and be Superman. And maybe after a couple of days, he's going to settle down and have less of that adrenaline flowing. 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560. We're going to talk some hoops, my friends, with Ira Winterman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel when we come back. Tyler Johnson spoke to media members today. He's happy the band's back together. Tyler is happy that the nucleus was not messed with, right? That you've got James Johnson, his best friend on the team, the two Johnsons, they love each other. And you've got, of course, Deion Waiters back. You did add Kelly Olynyk to the mix. But Tyler Johnson says he loves the fact that, you know, the band has been brought back together. We'll talk about that and more with Ira Winterman when we come back. But right now, I want to talk about the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. Friends, with football almost upon us, you got preseason football coming up this week with the Hall of Fame game. I can't think of a better place to watch the preseason, to hold your fantasy drafts, and of course to watch the regular season when it begins in a month in college football and then the NFL. I can't think of a better place to do any of these things than the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. The Quarterdeck restaurants, they have everything going for them. For the sports fan, you got TVs covering every wall, high-def flat-screen TVs, and there's always sports on. If there's a game on somewhere in the world, it's going to be on at the Quarterdeck. I can assure you of that. It's such a great place to watch all the action. It's such a great place to enjoy a cocktail. The Quarterdeck has a drink special that literally does not end. Happy hour all day, every day, 2-for-1 happy hour. And they don't water down the drinks like some sports bars do. I hate when other places do that. The Quarterdeck always brings it strong. And the food is so good. The sushi is great at the Quarterdeck. Yeah, I just got back from Japan. I'm a sushi fanatic. So the Quarterdeck is a great spot to get my fix. The seafood is always fresh there, whether it is the sushi or the oysters and the Maine lobster. The clam chowder is excellent at the Quarterdeck restaurants. I love the burgers. Build your own with tons of fresh toppings. I love the chicken ciabatta sandwich. I love the baby back ribs. The meat falls off the bone. They're so tender. But you have to make sure at the Quarterdeck you save room for dessert, because the key lime cheesecake, it is the perfect way to finish every meal. What you want to do, if you're getting hungry like I am, I can't eat for another 4 hours. It's unfortunate for me. But if you are driving around looking for a place to eat, I would recommend stopping at the Quarterdeck. And if you want to find a location near you, visit their website, quarterdeckrestaurants.com. The Quarterdeck is where you come for the food and stay for the fun.
The Alex Dono Show on South Florida's official football station, Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
The Alex Dono Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. We go out now to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Talk some hoops. Talk some Miami Heat with Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. So, Ira, I see Tyler Johnson had some media availability today at Heat Summer Camp, and he mentioned how happy he is that the band is back together. Pat Riley kept the nucleus together. Do you get the sense that fans feel the same way? Are they disappointed in not bringing in a whale? Or does Tyler think the way the fan thinks right now?
You know, it's really interesting, Alex. I think it's been split 50-50. The fans who stood by the Heat last season where they went from that 11-30 to 30-11, sort of feel rewarded with the opportunity to see the team grow. The fans that gave up and sort of just paid lip service to the Heat over the second half of the season are the kind of fans who wanted Gordon Hayward, who wanted trade for Kyrie Irving, which still could happen, or another big move. So it's sort of mixed. But I've got to tell you, between Justice Winslow talking to him last week, Tyler Johnson today, and being around other Heat players at times this summer, the players desperately wanted to keep it together. And Tyler Johnson told a really interesting story today about how Pat Riley came in at the trading deadline, maybe because the Heat couldn't make a deal, but told the players, we want to keep you guys together. We want to give you a chance to grow. Obviously, they didn't make a deal. They came within a tiebreaker of the playoffs. That's the same result now. And it was really interesting. And I asked Tyler, and he said, well, are guys going to sort of feel like they've already found their success, that they've done the 30-11 thing and they've reached their goal? And he says, no. He says, guys like James Johnson and Deion Waiters and Wayne Ellington, they're as hungry as I was a year ago when I got my new deal. These are not guys who are going to rest on their money. I think that's the most important thing.
Well, you know, historically, you don't typically see young Miami Heat teams get time and years to marinate. Riley usually makes as many moves as he can. Is this just not happening because it can't happen? Or even in his 70s, is Pat Riley finding a different form of patience?
No, I wrote about this in my Sunday column and in some of my Ask Iras at SunSentinel.com. People are forgetting what this team has been through with the Chris Bosh situation, that they simply couldn't cultivate the chips that other teams did, develop players, build them. They didn't have the salary cap space. They were basically operating at two-thirds of a salary cap for the last 2.5 years, so I don't buy that at all. The whole Pat Riley lost his fastball, has free agency passed them by. I'm not buying that. I think what Pat Riley did is he realized in today's NBA, with these supersized salaries, that there's so few players commanding so much money that unless you get one of those whales, you better be able to develop inside with your developmental talent, and that's what he's doing. He bet big. You know, when people talk about, has Pat Riley lost his fastball because of Hayward or Kevin Durant? No, he bet big on Deion Waiters and James Johnson, and to me, that's Pat Riley's risk right now. Did Pat Riley overpay for James Johnson? Did he overpay for Kelly Olynyk? Did he overpay for Deion Waiters? This is when those players have to offer the payback to Pat Riley, because I've gotten a lot of that from fans. Did the Heat give up too much of their cap space to too few players? That's what we're going to see this season.
You know, and Ira, as far as the nucleus, and you mentioned adding Kelly Olynyk to the mix, I want to get to more of him in a second. But, you know, fans are kind of split on the idea as to whether in the second half of the year they really figured something out, or if it was just sort of the law of averages, 11-30 and 30-11, and they're really a team that's around 500 if they play another full season together. But do Heat players feel like they figured something out in the second half of last year? And if so, what was that?
Well, Tyler Johnson said today, he was asked about the Celtics and the Cavs being in their own tier in the East, and he said, we don't think so. We think that if we can get the best of everyone together, that we can emerge as one of those teams. And there have been some pundits who've moved the Heat up maybe a bit further than some fans believe. So there is that kind of confidence, and yet there are changes. For example, I asked Tyler Johnson today, he was so good off the bench with James Johnson.
Yeah.
Well, what happens if James Johnson starts? If he's in the first unit and Tyler Johnson's in the second unit, is that chemistry lost? So for as much as they had last year, working back Justice Winslow, another example, this will be different than last year. There is no way they're going to get the exact same thing over the first 3 months, let's say, this season, as they did over the last 3 months of last season, with Bam Adebayo, with Kelly Olynyk, with Justice Winslow, with James Johnson. I believe as a starter, it will be a different look. Eric Spoelstra is going to have to grow this team just like he grew the team over the second half of last season.
Now let's talk about the most important Tyler Johnson note today. Ira, is he ever going to get those teeth fixed?
You know, that's where I went right in with. And there's a video posted at sunset.com, and I ran the picture of the missing tooth. He is funny. The kids ask questions to these camps, and the players stand up there, and they take three or four. And the first question from Tyler was, how many teeth have you lost playing basketball? And I got to tell you, and all three of us who were there today, Barry Jackson, myself, Anthony Chang, we all said the same thing. There was like a little, almost an audible gasp. He's lost seven teeth.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot of tooth to lose playing basketball. And he had a really funny quote after. He says, why do you want me, and everyone is asking to replace this tooth, when I'm just going to lose it again? Why not just get done playing basketball and fix it once and for all? I mean, it's a bit of an odd approach. I almost think, for better or worse, he almost thinks like it's part of his tough guy, Tyler Johnson look. Thankfully, he has shaved. Thankfully, he has cut the hair, because I don't know what the hell he was growing at the end of last season. So at least we've gotten, I even told him, we've gotten two of the three things down, and now he's looking for another house. He's going to sell his larger house because he wants to buy his mother a house as well. And I said, so you're just going to get a dental chair in the house? And he says, maybe a barber chair, maybe not a dental chair. So he's making subtle personal grooming achievements. But I think we're going to have to get like one of these. I know they go overseas and help the impoverished. We're going to have to get dentists for Tyler. We're going to have to get a bunch of dentists who will come in and do pro bono.
And hopefully you have an extra hygienist for Goran Dragic as well, because he seems to lose teeth a lot.
It's almost like they need the cut guy in the corner. But yeah, between the two of them, there's a lot of chicklets that certainly are roaming free these days. It's almost like being in the Panthers locker room.
Now, this is a much tougher question to ask over the last couple of years with Dwayne Wade no longer with the Miami Heat. But out of this roster, Ira, who is like the most stylish? Are there any fashionistas, any guys who really go the extra mile for the grooming and the way that they dress after games? Who would you say is the best guy with that on this Heat team?
Johnson is so over the top that you don't know what he's going to wear. I mean, half the time he'll walk in with jeans that make him look like a cow with a little white and black swatches, and you're like, what? You know, but again, it's the old, can you pull it off?
Right.
I think James Jones has more distinctive clothing than Dwayne Wade ever did. Dwayne Wade could be very, very stylish if he wanted when he was actually having pants that actually reached his shoes. But even then, I mean, some of the stuff that James Johnson will come in and wear, and just the way he'll change his look. Remember last year, the big beard, the no beard, the big hair, the no hair. He's constantly reinventing himself. He's become a really, really fun character. I'd probably say one of the top 10 characters over what's now three decades for the Miami Heat.
Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel is joining us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. You know, we talked a little bit yesterday, Ira, about Justice Winslow. You wrote about him today in the Sentinel that he had pointed to August 1st, that's today, as his starting point to get ready for the season. What does that entail for him?
Well, I mean, it's a matter of, you know, he's done contact work with his friends in three-on-three games, but he hasn't had that up and down, going to knock you on your butt, bounce back up from your shoulder surgery. He has to get that over in August. But, I mean, that's the thing about the Heat. It's kind of weird. I mean, the Dolphins are starting training camp right now. Okay, it makes sense. They're going to start playing in September. The Heat are basically starting training camp right now. Tyler Johnson said he was on the court with five other players today, August 1st, getting ready for the season. All the Heat's young players, they're Derek Walton Jr. on a two-way contract. The three-point shooter, Matt Williams Jr., they picked up from UCF. He was on the court today. That's the thing. Tyler Johnson said, we work so well together that now we're holding each other accountable in the offseason also. And that's the thing, Alex. That's a really delicate situation. What do you do when you've gone 30-11 with a certain mix, but you have this former first-round draft choice who's trying to fit in? This will be, I think, the most delicate rotational surgery that Eric Spoelstra has to do right now to find a place with Justice Winslow, because let's face it, I know what's going to happen, especially with you. If the Heat don't get off to a good start, you're going to go to me, Ira, is starting Justice Winslow a bad idea?
Yes, of course.
Ira, it's not... You know, everyone will, every fan will. It's going to be really interesting to see how Eric Spoelstra can cast Justice Winslow in a role with his pedigree, number 10 pick, 2015, one of the hopefully last lottery picks for this team, but also not disrupt the chemistry. I think that's Eric Spoelstra's number one challenge this season, to work in Justice Winslow in a seamless fashion, if that is even possible.
And how about, Ira, the power rotation? You know, you lose Willie Reed, but you add Kelly Olynyk and you draft Bam Adebayo. How do you see that dynamic playing out this year?
Well, again, it was really funny. Tyler Johnson had a very funny quote. We asked him, what do you think about Kelly Olynyk? He goes, well, that's the kind of guy you hate when he's on the other team, the kind of guy you love when he's on your team. You know, sort of a Sean Thornton type in hockey, or those guys that you didn't want to play against, you know, when they were going against you. So there's a respect of Kelly Olynyk already as a Heat type of player. That's good. Tyler Johnson said today that Bam Adebayo, he spent some time with him at Las Vegas Summer League. He was impressed by how he can just get anything you throw at him, how he has the maturity of more than a 19-year-old, now a 20-year-old. So that plays into it also. And then he said one thing more than anything. He said that he believes that Hassan Whiteside can be the number one center in the NBA this season, and he believes that if Hassan makes the growth that he should be the number one center in the NBA this season. And when people ask what sets the Heat off as a different team from all these other contenders, it's really all about Hassan Whiteside. Can he take that next step to All-Star? That could define the season.
Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel is joining us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Ira, elsewhere in the Eastern Conference, I guess one of the things I'm fascinated by with this Kyrie Irving saga is, assuming he gets traded and he's not traded to Boston for the sake of this argument, he maybe goes over to the Western Conference. Can the Cavs get enough back for him to stay at the top of the East? Is LeBron enough, or does Boston and the moves they've made this summer, does that make them a real threat at the top?
I still think when you have, again, what are we talking about? Are we talking about top of the regular season? Because I'm poised right now to tell you that the Cavaliers won't win the Eastern Conference regular season title only because they don't care. They didn't win it last year either, and they waltzed through the playoffs. So is Boston good enough if Kyrie is dealt to win the East? Sure, they won it last regular season. I'm still not doubting LeBron James with any kind of supporting cast getting back to the NBA Finals yet again, because that's all he's done for the last 7 years. I think Cleveland is sort of looking at this Kyrie situation as a way that they could be better now and for the future, that it's not the end of the world, that if they get Eric Bledsoe for the moment, they'll be good enough in the East, which is awful, pretty much. And if they get a Josh Jackson, if Phoenix relents or they give up a first-round pick, Phoenix, maybe one of the Heat's picks, they could also start building toward their future. That's why I think there's not as much consternation out of Cleveland as you might otherwise expect in this situation. I think Cleveland's looking at it this way. They can get a now player, and in case LeBron James leaves next summer, they can also have a future player as well. So I think Cleveland will be fine playoff-wise, because LeBron, whether he's leaving or not, is not going to quit on his team, is going to try to get back to that eighth consecutive NBA Finals.
Yeah, I'm curious, actually, as to your take on Steve Bartman as we leave basketball for a second.
Sure.
As you know, the Chicago Cubs, they're doing a nice thing for him. They're making him a World Series ring, but they did allow this guy to get tormented for 13 years from 2003 to 2016. Is this too little too late? Should the Cubs have stood up for him before they finally won a World Series?
Yeah, I don't know if you needed to give him the ring, but I think there should have been an organizational apology and that maybe hold a seat for him at any future games or something like that. Because basically when I read his response, hey, I appreciate the ring, don't call me, leave me alone,
right,
I just want to be done with this already.
Yeah.
It almost brought him back into a spotlight he didn't want to be in the first place anyway. I mean, I still go back to that, especially because of the local ties to all that. There is not a person we know who wouldn't have done that situation, because one of the great joys in baseball is to try to get, I don't know why, a foul ball.
Yeah.
To get a little piece of the game anyway. So that whole thing was overstated. I will say this, Alex. Based on when it happened back then, and based on what's happened since, between the Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith shows and Twitter and everything, I think Steve Bartman was really, really should be happy that it happened over a decade ago. Can you imagine in today's argue-at-all-cost sort of environment what that guy would have gone through today? I think the greatest gift given to Steve Bartman was time, that it didn't happen in this era. It would have been awful in that situation for him. So I think the fact that it happened and that time passed, probably a lot better off. The funny thing is now all those guys who do nothing but yell for a living are sort of jumping into the controversy in the first place. Look, what the Cubs did was a nice thing. They didn't have to do this. And if other people are going to be jerks, they're probably going to be jerks forever. I never blamed him for a moment. No, I'm not a Cubs fan, but if I was, I wouldn't have either. Just like every time I see a fan reach over for a home run or get involved in something, that's part of the baseball culture. And if you don't want it to be, get like football where they run up and tackle you in the stands and demand to get the ball back. Then no one's going to be reaching over anyway. Baseball made that of a part of a game. I say shame on you, Major League Baseball, for letting it fester for all these years.
Okay, great stuff here as always. Ira Winderman, you want to check him out on Twitter at Ira Heat Beat and read all of his work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel, sunsentinel.com, and check out the Ask Ira column where he does fantastic work daily. Ira, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
And we still didn't talk about Bones Jones next week for
Thank you,
Alex.
Real quick, do you want to see Bones Jones, Brock Lesnar? Are you down with that?
No, I think Brock Lesnar's a joke. So, no, I think Bones Jones is good for MMA. He's part of the sport. He's not sort of this caricature that I think Brock Lesnar has become. So I thought what happened over the weekend was really good. I thought it was better than the Adrian Broner boxing
yes.
match. I thought it was good for MMA, but that's what they got to do. And here's the problem. Sorry to go a little long here. Now we're getting caught up in this whole freak show that's coming up at the end of the month. That MMA could get itself away from that and say, you know what? We beat boxing's best show head-to-head this weekend with a far better show, and now they're putting on the clown suit and climbing into the ring. To me, that's the shame. That's what's going to set back MMA.
The most well-rounded man in South Florida media, period. Ira Winterman. Ira, we'll talk to you again next week.
Then we'll talk about the new MLS team. Thank you, Ira.
That's right. I love it, man. Ira can talk about anything. We haven't even gotten into hockey yet with Ira. That's going to be over the next couple of months. Peter Ruiz, we'll talk Canes with our buddy, the Canes Insight Report, coming up next here on WQAM.
Ain't nothing but some lies. We beat and have like guys. Them boys in that all black ride. Mouths get wide.
Back here on the Alex Donner Show, Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM. It's time now for the Canes Insight Report, brought to you by Caneswear at Miami Fanwear. That is the spot where Miami fans shop. Visit caneswear.com. Peter Ruiz, owner of canesinsight.com, outthehuddle.com. Young Money joins us here on WQAM. Pete, day one of Canes camp is in the books. We'll start with the quarterback position. I know the media doesn't get to watch a whole lot of these practices, but your consensus on what Mark Richt had to say about Nikosi Perry and company and what other players had to say about that competition?
So, first of all, as far as the rotation goes today, no surprise, as Richt said in the post-practice, you know, press conference that Malik Rozier and Evan Sheriffs were splitting the first team reps, and then Nikosi Perry and fellow freshman Cade Weldon were running with the second and third units. And again, that's not a surprise for the first practice. For the first few practices, I would expect for Perry really not to get any first team reps. But what was interesting is just how positively Mark Richt spoke about Perry as far as his skill set, which is, again, we've known that he's physically gifted. Richt said, and this is, you know, a direct quote, he said, there's not a lot of wasted motion. He's got a nice zip on the ball. He understands touch. He's a passer, not just a thrower. And then, again, he said, as far as the mental side of the game with Nikosi Perry, he said he's probably picked up about 50% of it. And again, Richt also said that that's probably pretty good for the pace we're going at. So everything that he said about Perry was positive. He really, honestly, wasn't asked much about Malik Rozier or Evan Sheriffs in particular, but he didn't necessarily say anything about those guys, you know, standing out. So look, I think the biggest question I have right now with the quarterback race is, look, I think Perry is going to be the starting quarterback of this team at some point this year. The question becomes, is it going to be game number one? And if that's going to be the case, then the question is, how soon does he start getting those first team reps? Because look, I don't think I don't think it's fair to the two older guys, just the first practice, or again, first couple practices for that matter, to just have a freshman come in and he's always had a 7-on-7, and you're just going to put him at first team. It's not going to work like that. Mark Richt doesn't operate like that. But if Perry doesn't, from what I heard, again, like you said, we don't really get to watch much, but from the things I've heard, it was a positive practice for Perry. So I think you string a few of those together, if you're a young guy like him, and you're going to earn your opportunity to get first team reps.
Yeah, Peter, I've heard it said that, you know, Richt would like to know who his week one starter is by around the second scrimmage of fall camp. But when do we expect that second scrimmage to take place?
That's usually, and we don't, you know, these schedules are always bound to change, but that's usually about 2 weeks into camp. So that would mean 2 weeks from now, again, if they're sticking on that schedule, that they would know who the starter is. Who knows if they stick to that? It could very well change where, you know, let's say Perry starts to do well and, you know, he has a really good first scrimmage, and then it looks like he's about to take control of the thing, and then, you know, maybe he shows some struggles in scrimmage number two, and you say, all right, maybe we just aren't ready to name him the guy just yet. We're going to have them continue to battle it out, and then, you know, from there we'll see if maybe they go with a two-quarterback system for a little. There's a lot of options here for Mark Richt, but as I've said since when we pretty much knew and we'd said a few times, it looked like Brad Kyle was leaning towards leaving, and it didn't seem like Mark Richt was trying to convince him to come back, that Richt was going to be leaning in the direction of a younger guy with some upside that he could kind of turn the program over to. Now, if he's not ready, he's not ready. That's of course something that remains to be seen. And if he's not ready, then he's not going to be given a starting job. But if he's even close to it, I think he's going to be the guy.
Peter, talk to me about running back as we speak here with Peter Urias from CanesInsight.com. As you know, Mark Richt revealed today that true freshman Robert Burns probably won't even be ready for the start of the regular season on September 2nd. And, you know, running back, well, they have one of the best starters on the team in Mark Walton, a little bit thin at that position. Do you expect we might even see some guys try and move there?
Well, first of all, it's not a surprise that Burns won't be ready for game one. It was more of a surprise to me that Richt just flat out announced it today, which maybe indicates how far away he is from being able to see the field. But he's a guy who's been very injury prone. He missed a lot of time in high school, basically missed, you know, his entire senior year and a big portion of his junior year as well. So he was a guy who had some injury stuff coming in. The thing now with him is his shoulder. As far as behind Mark Walton, Travis Homer, I believe, is going to kind of cement himself as that number two guy. It brings a different element of speed out of the backfield. He can catch the football. His thing is, you know, continue to mature as a blocker and, you know, picking up blitzes and whatnot. The wild card, I believe, is Trayon Gray. You know, he's a guy who's now healthy, and we'll see what he has. But the wild card to me is DJ Dallas, the freshman enrolled early. DJ Dallas is at receiver now, came to Miami at 210 pounds, dropped about 10 pounds. So he has the frame to play running back at about 5'11", 205 pounds. And he's been really good at wide receiver. He was actually a quarterback in high school. But Mark Richt has said multiple times this summer, and he was said today, he said, look, we need to get him ready to be able to, you know, again, play in the blocking game as a running back, to be able to catch passes out of the backfield and things of that nature, just in case they need him as a third down back. You see what the New England Patriots do with these third down backs, and a lot of times they're in there to kind of scoot out of the backfield and make something happen out of nothing. And I think that's DJ Dallas is a playmaker with the ball in his hands. I had a podcast last week, and my guest actually predicted that he thought DJ Dallas would have a passing touchdown, a running touchdown, and a receiving touchdown.
Nice. He'd be like a Stacy Coley type season.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, and again, he was a quarterback in high school too, and Rich Rodriguez at Arizona gave him an offer to play quarterback. So he's a guy with a skill set to throw the football as well. So I wouldn't be a complete shocker to see Miami, you know, have a package for him in there, you know, around the goal line or something like that either.
Yeah, Peter, year two under Mark Richt, I think, is so significant. And now that he's had that full season to start putting his stamp on the program, do you get any sense from anything you saw out there, anything that's been said by players and coaches, that they've made any adjustments as to how they ran fall camp last year to this year? Are they doing anything differently out there as far as maybe the order they're running drills, the time they're starting practices, or is it kind of the same way it was a year ago?
Everything seems to be being run the same way it was last year. I think it's a more seamless transition for a lot of guys because, again, you know, there are a lot of freshmen coming in now. But you remember last year, this was the first go-around for a lot of guys who eventually had to become leaders on this team last year. So if, in that sense, I think it's a more veteran group in that respect. And, you know, even some of the newcomers like a Javonte Dean and a Dee Delaney, a cornerback, while they are new to the program and new to the way things are done, those guys have had college experience and they kind of know how things how things are expected of you at that level and things of that nature. So I think in that respect, that's probably the only difference. That there's really an established leadership group within this team now. And the freshmen that are being added on are really pieces that are going to add to the puzzle. But I think the foundation was laid last year.
Peter, a couple of months ago, actually probably 4 or 5 weeks ago on this radio station, Phil Steele said that he's bullish on the Miami Hurricanes, and it has mostly to do for him with that front seven. He thinks it's going to be one of the most dominant front sevens in the entire country. What do you think the biggest position battles will be at those spots when you talk about the linebackers of the defensive line? What are you going to be watching these next several days and weeks in camp?
Well, at defensive end in particular, there's so much depth there. You look at Chad Thomas. Joe Jackson led the team in sacks last year as a freshman. Demetrius Jackson was a starter before he had a knee injury last year, and he was a pretty productive player as well. And then, look, again, you go down the line, you bring in a freshman in DJ Johnson who was an elite prospect, had about 100 scholarship offers. I saw that kid today for the first time in pads. He looked like he was about 260 pounds. Running, and he's a track guy. He was running 11.1 in the 100 meter in high school just a few months ago. So you're talking about supreme athletes. You can't keep a guy like that on the bench. Scott Patchen, who's dealt with some injuries at Miami, he had that one play against Florida State last year where it looked like he was shot out of a cannon.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think defensive end, it's not. There is going to be competition, but the good thing is the way that Coach Kuligowski uses those guys, they're all going to see the field, and I think that's kind of an underrated aspect of this defensive line. Is yes, there is talent; they are being coached up, but because they are so deep at those spots, they're able to stay fresh for the duration of the game. I think we saw that a bunch of times last year. It just seemed like they were relentless in their pursuit, and I think a lot of times it was because some of the guys who were making those plays were pretty fresh. Defensive tackle, I wouldn't say there's a depth concern necessarily, because after Norton and McIntosh, I do believe that Anthony Moten and Patrick Bethel are very solid backups, but you might have to see someone else slide into the middle there, because of course you've lost two guys in Cortell Jenkins and Gerald Willis this offseason at that position.
Peter Ariz joins us here on the Canes Insight Report. It's brought to you by Caneswear at Miami Fanwear, the spot where Miami fans shop. Visit them on the web at caneswear.com. And Pete, what's going on at Caneswear this week?
Yeah, so I actually last Saturday had a great event with Leon Searcy and Danny Stubbs, two great Canes. Had a good podcast with them out there. You guys can check that out. I will be up there on Thursday with a podcast, again, kind of breaking down everything I've heard and some of the inside scoop sort of things that I've heard from the first few days of practice. And again, Brett has a lot of the new Adidas stuff out there. It's really crazy. The store is looking great these days.
Yeah, and I will remind everybody out there that my birthday is a month and a half away, so if you want to shower me with Adidas gear from Caneswear, I will not argue with anyone doing that. Peter, thank you so much for the time, man.
Alex, we made it. We found the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
Football is here.
Finally, football is here. Oh, man. Truer words have never been spoken. Make sure you follow Peter on Twitter at Peter Ariz. And again, check out his work at canesinsight.com, outthehuddle.com. They're doing such amazing things. Peter is moving mountains right now, man. He's doing such a great job. His passion for Hurricanes football. 7 o'clock hour coming up, my friends.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.